Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Briefings Direct Voice of the Customer podcast series. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, your host and moderator for this ongoing discussion on digital transformation success stories. Stay with us now to learn how agile businesses are fending off disruption in favor of innovation. Our next interview explores how a storage as a service offering in a university setting has gained performance and lower total cost benefits by a move to all flash. We'll now learn how the University of British Columbia has modernized its EduCloud storage service and both gained efficiency as well as better service levels for its diverse user base. Here to help us explore new breeds of storage as a service solutions, we're joined by Brent Dunnington, System Architect at UBC in Vancouver. Welcome, Brent.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning to you. We're glad you're here. How is satisfying the storage demands at a large and diverse university setting a challenge? Is there something about your users and the diverse nature of their needs that provides you with a sort of complex requirements list?
That's a really good question. So the university setting isn't much different than any other business. I mean, the demands are the same. It's, you know, UBC has 65,000 students, you know, give or take a few thousand. I always get the numbers wrong, and about 15,000 staff. And, you know, students this day are younger kids. And as we know, younger kids, they all have iPhones, iPads, and all this, and they just want to push buttons and just get instant results and instant gratification. And that boils down to the services that we offer. We have to be able to offer those services because, as most people know, there's choices, and they can go somewhere else and choose those other products. So, you know, our team is a rather small team. There's 13 or 15 members on our team, so we have to be, you know, agile. We have to be able to, you know, automate things, and we need tools that can work and fulfill those needs. So, you know, it's just like any other business, even though it's a university setting.
So pretty strict requirements like any other business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. It's like any other place. Yeah.
Maybe you could give us a sense of the scale. You told us about the size of your population. What are some of the metrics that measure or describe your storage requirements?
So our storage requirements is basically we do storage as a service. We also do infrastructure as a service. So EduCloud is a self-service infrastructure as a service product that we deliver to UBC, but we also deliver to 25 other higher institutions in the province in British Columbia. We've been doing infrastructure as a service for probably 5 years, and we're doing it. We've been very, very successful. So we're, you know, more people are looking at us for guidance and coming on board. So we also not just delivering to UBC, we also deliver to the others. So, you know, we have to be up, we have to be running. You know, we have to be able to deliver what, because each school has different requirements and different times of the years, because there's registration, there's exam times, and these things have to be up, because you can't not be functioning during an exam and have, you know, 600 students not be able to take their tests that they've been studying for. So it you know, it impacts their life, and, you know, we want to make sure that we're there and they can service what they require or what they need. Sorry.
Sure. And so in order to maintain your service levels with those peaky times, do you, in your infrastructure as a service and storage as a service, employ hybrid cloud capabilities so that you can burst? Or are you doing this all through your own data center and your own private cloud?
So we do it all on campus. So British Columbia has a law, data has to stay in Canada. Data sovereignty law, where it has to stay in Canada, it can't leave the borders. So that's why EduCloud's kind of been successful, in my opinion, is because of that option. They can't just go and throw things out in the cloud. You know, the public cloud providers are providing more services in Canada. You know, AWS and Azure are putting data centers in Canada, which is good, and it gives people an option. Because, I mean, our goal is to, you know, our team's goal is to provide the service, whether it's hybrid model or on campus. We just want to be able to fulfill those needs.
It sounds like the best of all worlds. You are able to give that elasticity benefit, a lot of instant service requirements met for your consumers, but you're starting to use cloud pay-as-you-go types of models and get the benefit of a public cloud model, but with the security and control and manageability of the private cloud. So that's pretty cool. All right, tell me a little bit, Brent, if you would, about what decisions you've made about your storage underpinnings, the infrastructure that supports your storage as a service cloud.
Sure, that's a great question. So one of the things we did is, you know, we have a large storage footprint. Well, for our side, it's about 12 petabytes of storage. And we were realizing that, you know, we weren't meeting the needs with spinning disks. So one of the problems was, is, you know, we get runaway workloads that would cause problems and they would impact others. And we needed some mechanism to do that. So we went through the whole, you know, RFP process and all the vendors responded. But we did have some guidelines that we wanted to go through. We, you know, one of the things we did is present our problems and make sure that they understood what the problems were and what they were trying to solve. And there were some minimum requirements, you know, that we do have a backup vendor of choice that they need to merge with. And quality of service was a big thing. We wanted to make sure that we had the ability to do quality of service and control those runaway VMs in our footprint.
Right. Yeah. And so what was it about the spinning disk that not only wasn't physically able to keep up, but was there something about the platform itself that was an issue, and you gain more than just flash when you go to flash, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things with spinning disk is with an entire data center full of spinning disk, it gets to the point where the disk starts to manage you. You're no longer managing the disk. And, you know, the team's out there changing drives, you know, we're moving volumes around. It becomes a little bit much. I mean, the power, the footprint and all that starts to grow. And, you know, it made logical sense. I mean, the one thing that we'll probably come up in the future, but we can talk about it now, is Vancouver's in a seismic zone. So we're right up against the Pacific Ocean, and it's a very active seismic area. I mean, you know, heaven forbid anything happens, but one of the requirements is to move the data center into the interior of the province. So that was what we did. So when we built this new data center, or brought this new data center up online, one of the decisions the team made is, let's move to an all-flash environment. Let's see if that makes financial sense. Let's make sure it makes sense to the customers, to the user experience, and to overall to the province, you know, because it's publicly funded.
Yeah. Okay. As you were going about your decision-making process, you had choices. What made you choose the way you did? What was the sort of deciding factors?
So, yeah, there's lots of deciding factors. You know, there's technology, like we talked about, being able to meet the performance, managing the performance, having, you know, one of the things was, you know, to lock down runaway VMs, put performance tiers on others. The other things too is it's not just the technology, it's also the business part of it too. The financial part obviously had to make sense, but also when you're buying any storage platform, you're also buying the support team, the sales team that come with it. So, you know, our team believes in that, you know, technology is a certain piece of the pie, the rest of it's relationship. And if that relationship part doesn't work, it doesn't matter how well the technology part works, the whole thing's going to break down. Because you still, you know, software, hardware's hardware, it breaks, it has problems, you know, there's limitations, and you have to call someone, and if you can't depend on them, even though you bought the best technology at the time, and got the best price, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You need someone to call. So that was one of the things. So those things all wrapped up into the decision.
So tell us what you chose and how it's been working out.
So we chose the three-par all flash. I mean, I don't know the model numbers, but, you know, we've been very happy with it. I mean, the team, the HP team we knew well. They came, worked with us on the Blade infrastructure, so we knew the team. The team knew how to support it. We also used the OneView product for provisioning, and it kind of integrated into that. And it had the performance optimization tool within it that let us set those values. Because one of the things in EduCloud is customers choose their own tier. They choose their own storage tier, and we mark the price in it. So basically all we would do is present that new tier as new data stores within VMware, and then they would just move their workloads across non-disruptively. Right. So it's been really well. And, I mean, the other thing, too, with the three-part piece is it integrates with VMware vRealize Operations Manager. I hope that's the correct pronouncing. Yes. And we do offer that to all our clients as a portal, so they can see how everything's working and they can do their own diagnostics. Because that's the one goal with, like, you know, I go back to EduCloud, is self-service. If we can let the customers do it, that's what they want, right?
So not that long ago, people had the idea that Flash was always way more expensive and that they would use it for just certain use cases rather than pervasively. But you've been talking in terms of a total cost of ownership reduction. So how does that work? How does the economics of this over a period of time, taking everything into consideration, benefit you all?
I think you know our team and our management team are really good with that part, and they kind of took the things down, broke it down, and found that this model would work in scale. I don't know the numbers per se, but I mean it made sense, right? You know, I mean, spinning disks still will have a place in the data center. I don't know a year from now if an all-flash data center will make sense, because there are some workloads that people will throw in and never touch. But right now, with the numbers, how we worked it out, it makes sense. Because, you know, we're using, like, the standard, you know, the bronze, the gold, the silver tiers. And the bronze tier makes sense. So, because, I mean, the 3PAR also has the dedupe functionality and the compression that they just released. So we're hoping to see how well that trends. Compression's only been out for a short period of time, so I can't really say. But the dedupe's done very well, right? So...
yeah, the sophistication is a big part of it. The technology overcomes some of the other baseline economic costs and issues, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about the requirements, what you've put in place. Have you been able to quantify in how, from a user experience, this has been a benefit? We talked about the economics. Now let's talk about the speeds and feeds. Flash, cloud, coming together in a self-service portal, storage as a service approach. What's been some of the benchmarks that have benefited your user base?
I mean, the biggest benchmark is the adoption. People are using it, right? And there's no tickets. So no one's complaining, right? So if people are using it and we can see that everything's ramping up and we're not getting tickets and no one's complaining about the price, the availability, you know, and our operational team isn't complaining about this is harder to manage or we're the backups aren't working and stuff, that makes me happy, right?
Sure. Okay. Before we sign off, Brent, maybe a word of advice to other organizations that are thinking about a similar move to a storage as a service cloud environment capability and metering out storage on a per use basis. Now that you've done this, what might you advise them to do as they prepare it or they evaluate a similar activity?
I just think look at the full picture, right? Like look at all, the total cost of ownership. You know, there's the, you know, the actual buying the hardware, and there's the supporting the hardware too, right? And make sure that I think you understand your requirements and what your customers are looking for first before you go out and buy it. Because, you know, not everybody needs that speed. Not everybody needs that performance. But, you know, it is the future and things will move there. You know, we'll see. We'll see in a couple of years how it went. But I just think, look at the big picture, right? Step back. It's just not the new shiny toy. And, you know, you might have to take a stepped approach into buying that. But for us, it worked, and I mean, it's a solid platform. You know, our team sleeps well at night, and I think our customers are really happy with it. So,
this might be a little bit of a pun in the education field, but do your homework, and you'll benefit.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
All right, great. We'll have to leave it there. We've been exploring how a storage as a service offering at a Canadian university is gained into performance and lower total cost benefits by a move to all flash storage. And we've learned how the University of British Columbia has modernized its EduCloud storage service and gained efficiency and kept their user base happy and their administrators sleeping well at night. So please join me and thank our guest. We're here with Brent Dunnington. He's a systems architect at UBC in Vancouver. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And a big thank you as well to our audience for joining us for this Briefings Direct Voice of the Customer Digital Transformation Success Story. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at InterArbor Solutions, your host for this ongoing series of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise-sponsored interviews. Thanks again for listening. Feel free to pass this on to your cohorts in your IT community, and do come back next time.